Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.
If you have your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read that portion of the Christmas story this morning. And as you turn there, isn't it nice to be called by your name? Isn't that great when somebody calls you by their name? There's nothing kind of worse than whenever somebody you can tell they don't know your name, they're fishing for it. Hey, buddy, pal, man, guy, how are you doing? And I'm the world's worst at this. Some people are great at memorizing names. I struggle with memorizing names. But one of the things we're doing as a church is to have our church directory that's being put together. If you need help with that, Don will be at the back right after the service. If you're needing your stuff in there, if you didn't get the email, we definitely want to add you if you feel like this is your church home, just to kind of let you know those things. There'll be a printed version of that in January, by the way. Many of you have asked. There's also going to be an online version and then an app, and that way as people join, we can add them, and that will help us really with those names, because again, as we said, nothing worse than being called by the wrong name. Dawn and I, when we were dating, I found out that her full name, many of you probably don't know this, but her first name is not Dawn. I struggle with, my name is Jared, but I say it clearly very funny because most of my life, if I go somewhere to order something and they ask for my name, I say Jared, and then they call out for Jerry, and I just have to like suck it up because I want the food more than I want to be correct. So, but Dawn, her first name is actually not Dawn, it is Barbara. So when we were first dating, I found out that her name is Barbara Dawn. One day we were, right after we had been dating, I got a new car, or I guess I would say new to me. It was a 95 Chevy, what was that? Anyways, this is this little Chevy 5-speed. And so I asked Dawn, can you drive a 5-speed? She goes, yeah. And so I said, well, why don't you drive it? You'll like this little car. So she's driving it. We're here in Springfield, and she turns into a parking lot. Didn't know that the curb was one of those L-shaped parking lots. And so when she turned in and went around the curb, she kept turning and drove right over the curb. And so she like bottomed the car out. You could hear the muffler scrape and everything. And it was when we were first dating. So it was the very first time I did not yell at her, but I did yell. So just to clarify, hey, what are you doing? You know, like it just came out. I apologized. But Dawn immediately, she's got a very soft heart, so she started crying, and you know, I'm like concerned about my car, but more concerned about her. So I tried to, in love and compassion, turn to her and to tell her that I loved her. So what I said was, Deborah Dawn, I love you. And Dawn, if you could imagine this, is just, what did you say? And man, we like it when somebody says our name, don't we? Whenever we're called by our own name, there is no name sweeter than the name of Jesus. 1,275 times it appears in Scripture, and this, I believe, is the fourth time. The passage we're going to read today is the fourth time, but what's interesting about this is it's when the angel tells Joseph, here's what Jesus' name is going to be. So I just thought we'd take a little bit of time talking about that. There's actually not just the name of Jesus. Some of you have nicknames. I call Dawn Babe, or I used to call her Pumpkin. And so in the same way, Jesus has all of these different names, different titles that could be called. There's 198 different names or titles for Jesus throughout Scripture. And what we're going to do this Christmas season is take a little bit of time and just study four of them that we find here in Scripture. We're going to do today Jesus. The next Sunday, we're going to talk about Emmanuel. Then on Christmas Eve service, we're going to talk about Prince of Peace. And then for New Year's Day, the 31st, we're going to be talking about Alpha and Omega, the very last title that's given to Jesus. So I hope you join us for those. If you have your Bibles, we're in Matthew 1. Would you stand in the honor of reading God's Word? It says this, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that it's living and active. Father, would you speak to us from it today? Father, would you bless the reading of your word? Father, would you bless us as we apply it? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just four things I want to talk quickly this morning about the name of Jesus from this passage. So we want to talk about the authority of his name, the clarity. I looked up a really big word, the etymology of his name. There's a $5 word for you. And then we're going to talk about the duty that is that comes with his name, the responsibility with his name. First, the authority. What's interesting about this story is that Joseph and Mary don't actually get to give the name to Jesus. And the reason why that's an interesting fact, the angel comes and says, here's what you're to name your child, is that that was a thing that, especially in Jewish culture, whenever you name the child, it was kind of the way to show that that child belonged to you and you had authority over the child. I was raised with parents that used to say this phrase, you may have heard it before, but I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. I was like, normally what would be said right before a spanking maybe? And so that was kind of the phrase they would use. Well, that would be because they had dominion over the person. Adam, if you remember, Adam and Eve, they named the animals, or I guess it was just Adam that named the animals because he had dominion over them. But here, Adam and Eve do not give Jesus the name because they actually don't have dominion over Jesus. Jesus has dominion over them. Now, he did, you know, respond to his parents as the authority in many ways, but what's interesting about it is that whenever he comes, whenever Jesus Christ comes, he doesn't have the same kind of upbringing as a normal baby would, in that he is the son of God, not the son of Joseph. And so this angel shows up and lets him know, here's what you're going to be. You're going to name him Jesus because his father is God. This is kind of like what happens in Matthew. You remember in Matthew, they've been questioning Jesus. We've been reading the New Testament together, and we're in Matthew. This last week, we spent some time in Matthew 22, and in this, they've asked all these questions. They're trying to trick Jesus, remember? They got questions about what happens when you die. They've got some questions about the law and some different things. And then finally, in Matthew 22, the way the chapter ends is Jesus looks at them and says, I've got a question for you. And so in Matthew 22, 43, he says this, how is it that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For it says, the Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David calls him Lord, how can it be David's son? And so their thinking was that this Messiah was going to be David's son, just like any other natural son, that was going to be this kind of leader, maybe a military conquest type leader. But instead, this is totally different. This is going to be God's son. And so God is the one who gives the name Jesus. This was not chosen by Mary. It wasn't chosen by Joseph. This was God's chosen name for his son. So first, we wanted to see the authority of his name. Then secondly, I wanted to give a little bit of clarity of his name. You shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. The name Jesus just means God is Savior, or Jehovah is the Savior. And then his last name is not Christ. I remember as a kid, I thought, you know, my name is Jared Lee Proctor, and Jesus' name was Jesus Christ. Like, that's his first name and his last name. But it'd be much more accurate to say he is Jesus the Christ, that Christ is a depiction of who Jesus is, that Christ just means that he is the Messiah or the anointed one. It means that this is God's chosen one, that he's the chosen deliverer for all of his people. So Jesus Christ, just some clarity on his name, is not like the full name of Jesus. It's Jesus is his name, and Christ is who he is and what he does. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the deliverer. Now we could ask, what's the etymology? In case you're wondering what that word is, because I had to look it up, but it just means what's the history of the word Jesus. So you find a word and you'd say, what's the etymology? Where did that word come from? Well, there's two ways that you could translate a word into a different language. One is you could just translate it. The second way would be that you would transliterate it. So to translate a word means here's what the word means and we're going to find our English equivalent. To transliterate it means we're going to basically just change that word and say it's English, right? So if we're going to say in Spanish, the only Spanish word that I know is manzana, which is apple. So we say apple, and in Spanish you would say manzana. Great. You all learned a little bit of Spanish today, and I got to teach it to you, so I feel very proud for myself. But there are some things in Spanish that don't translate the same. For example, the word, the letter J. So my name, anytime we go down to Peru, they can't say Jared. It's not something that in Spanish you would naturally say, so I'm Herod. That's right. I get to be Herod there. Like, why don't you just call me buddy or pal? That's way better than calling me Herod, because they're not going to say the J. Otherwise, we would say jalapenos. We want some jalapenos on that. So I clearly was made fun of that the first time I tried to read that word. You should really go out to eat Mexican food with me sometime. It's great when I try to order something. But if you look at the name Jesus, here's where it came from. Three different people in the Old Testament had a name that was kind of the original that it would come from. The most popular of those was Joshua. I remember whenever I was a kid and I heard this, and I thought we'd been saying Jesus' name wrong this whole time. His name is Jesus. That's how we'd say it in English, but they would say, no, it was Joshua or Yeshua. And so I was like, oh my gosh, we've been calling Jesus the wrong name, but it's totally fine what we've done, because we've just taken, like I said, we've transliterated it to say, here's what it was in Hebrew, here's what it was in Greek, and here's how we say that in English. And so the original name, Joshua, comes from this guy who, remember, he was with Moses. They're going to the promised land. They send out these spies when they're in the military conquest. And Joshua is one of those who come back. Whenever Moses goes on to pass, he puts Joshua in charge. And Joshua has the job of leading this military conquest of taking over the promised land. So Joshua means God our Savior. The other person who we could say Jesus was kind of had a name that was similar to was a priest in Ezra 2:2. This is whenever Zerubbabel and them were in Ezra. They were coming back from, if you remember this, they're coming from the Babylonian captivity, and they're going to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And there was a high priest whose name was Yeshua, and his name means deliverer or Jehovah saves. Then the third person that you could say Jesus was named after, and this was kind of new to me, I didn't know this, is actually the prophet Hosea. Hosea is very similar to Yeshua or Joshua, and so his name means very similarly salvation. Now, if you know Hosea's story, Hosea has a story where he's a prophet, so he's been called from God to deliver a message to the people, but he's got a very interesting story because he has married a prostitute. And what a weird story this is in the Old Testament, because his prostitute wife eventually decides to leave him. She sells herself back into slavery, becomes a prostitute once again, and then Hosea actually goes and buys her back from an auction. And so he buys her back, and then the rest of the book is really talking about how this is what God has done with Israel. Israel has played the part of the harlot. They've fallen in love with other gods, and God is the one who's going to purchase them back. And we find out eventually that is through Jesus Christ. So here's the really neat thing about Jesus' name, is that its etymology comes from a prophet, a priest, and a king. And that's because that's exactly who Jesus was. Jesus was a priest, and what priests did was they offered sacrifices on behalf of the people. But Jesus, as the high priest, didn't offer some other sacrifice, but he offered himself for our sins. Jesus was a prophet. That is, he spoke the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus himself said, it's by the truth that you'd be set free. And then finally, we see that Jesus is a king and a conqueror like Joshua, that he defeated not only sin, but death and hell. And the last thing I wanted to point out from this passage, we'll wrap up very quickly, is this, is that the passage says that Jesus was to be given, it says, you'll give birth to a son and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from his sin. What is the duty of Jesus? What is it that he's going to actually do? What's his mission on earth? Well, it says he's going to save. And isn't that great? You've heard that before. Jesus is going to save. But here's the thing that should cause maybe a little bit of fear in our hearts, at least a little bit of a pause. It says he will save his people. And I want to ask you, what does that mean here in Scripture? We know that God gave Jesus Christ to save sinners. Then in this passage, it says he's going to save his people. Well, who are his people? Some could say, well, it would be his people would be the Jewish people. In fact, there's kind of some stories where somebody would come to Jesus and he says he's first to come to the lost sheep of Israel. And you remember this woman, she responds and says, well, don't even the dogs get to eat the crumbs? And Jesus says, how great is her faith? And so Jesus here begins to open up the ministry, not just to Jewish people, but many times he's done miracles to other people outside of the Jewish flock, you could say. So who are his people? Here's what I would tell you today is the greatest news that we could tell you. His news and who he saves is for the whosoever. Do you guys remember King James? I don't read much King James anymore, but I grew up hearing King James all the time. Whosoever was a word in King James. Pops up in your mind quite a bit. John 3:16, the way I originally remember hearing it said was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. You know who's God's people are that he saves? It's the whosoever's. In fact, in Romans 10:13, another whosoever shows up. It says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't know. I tell stories like this all the time, but I grew up in a little bitty Baptist church in the middle of the country, and we used to sing this song, Whosoever. Do you remember it? Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Pretty simple song, right? You know, that was created by a guy who was preaching revivals, and he wanted to communicate with the audience. If you can say whosoever, this message is for you. It's for anyone who would believe. God sent his son to be a savior, to save people from what? From their sins. Not just their sins, but to save them from the wrath of God. You think about Jesus whenever he was there in the garden praying, take this cup from me. What's the cup? It's the cup of God's wrath. He was saving people not just from their sin, but from the penalty of their sin, which was eternal death in hell. But there was a great news that happened when Jesus came, that whosoever believes would be saved. I want to ask you today, have you ever taken a moment to think about you're the whosoever? You have access to eternal life through Jesus Christ if you'll place your faith in him. Jesus Christ was given this name. There's no authority, there's no name with a higher authority than Jesus Christ. You look back and see what's the purpose, what did he come for? He came to save. And you can see that through the history of his name, but you could also see it through the application. So I want to maybe close with this prayer today. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I hope that you would see that you might be today the whosoever, that you could be one of his people. In John 1:12, it says, whoever believes in him, he gave the right to become children of God. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and if you're here and you've never trusted Christ before, I'd ask you to take just a moment and ask, have you really placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Father, we love you. We thank you for allowing so many people to come and to hear the children today. Father, I thank you for the pride and the joy they find in the children as they sing. I thank you for the message that they shared. But Father, we don't want to leave today without thinking about if we've made that message that they sang personal. Father, I thank you that you did send your only son, that you gave him the name Jesus, that there's no other name given by which we might be saved. Father, we ask today if there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, would you speak to their hearts today? And in faith, would they give their life to Christ? And would you save them? Lord, we love you. We thank you for this season to celebrate your Son. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.